Playing the music of the church throughout the ages. This is Heart and Soul.
Heart and Soul.
Where do I go? When there's nobody else to turn to. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ's solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I hide when the storm life are threatening? Oh, and when do I run to you? When the winds of the sorrow blow, is a refuge in a time of tribulation?
'Cause I go to the rock. I know he's able.
Oh yeah. I go to the rock of my salvation. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
That was Aaron Jeffrey with the old chorus, I Go to the Rock of My Salvation. Now we welcome David with today's word. Thanks, David.
I just want to speak today on the subject of being given the second chance. You know, there's one thing of which we are certain. We are not perfect. We make mistakes sometimes more than once. But one thing the Bible assures us, God is the God of the second chance, even many times. We may set ourselves goals and miss the mark. In fact, missing the mark is one of the definitions of sin when God commands other mark. The Apostle Paul defined our propensity to sin and missing the mark in Romans 3:23, where he said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Coming short is missing the mark, as if we think in terms of shooting an arrow at a target and missing the bullseye. This fact is expressed in biblical numerology. The number for man in Scripture is 6. The number for God and His glory is the number 7, perfection. In terms, number 6 is short, just one, of 7, but short nonetheless. Being just one short of the mark is enough to do it. Maybe you feel you have missed the mark many more times, but God is definitely a God of grace, and grace means receiving His favour without deserving it. We have a classic example of a man in Scripture failing on one occasion, but later being described as being profitable for the ministry. When the church at Antioch were praying and fasting, the prophet set apart Paul and Barnabas for the first missionary journey. They decided to take a young man called Mark with them. No doubt his youth and strength was an aid to them on the journey. The Bible called him their assistant. It turns out that he was a cousin of Barnabas, and his mother was one of the Marys who were followers of Jesus. Mark was present in times when Mary's house was used to get-togethers with other believers, including the time Peter was released from prison by the angel. Paul, Barnabas, and Mark went first to Cyprus, where Paul preached the gospel to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. In Acts 13:6 and 7 we read, "When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Sergius Paulus eventually put his faith in Jesus Christ, and after leaving Cyprus, Paul and Barnabas with John Mark made their way to Pisidian Antioch, as recorded in Acts 13:14. From Cyprus, they journeyed by ship to a place called Perga in Pamphylia, where, for some reason, John Mark deserted them and went back to Jerusalem. The Bible does not give us a reason for John leaving them, but a later incident gives us a clue that he may have been afraid or frustrated and just simply left to go home. Paul and Barnabas continued on their missionary journey and returned to Antioch. But when we get to Acts 15:36, we read, "After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing.' Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly. Since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work, their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and he left. The believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he travelled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there." I remember in the days of Sunday school having a debate on the issue of who was right about John Mark going on the second journey, Paul or Barnabas. And when asked what side I wanted to argue for, I took the side of Paul, given that surely a man of God like Paul had to be right. I didn't bother finding out the details of what happened before I chose Paul to defend. I was surprised when the adjudicator favoured the side arguing for Barnabas. It goes to prove that no matter how powerful is a servant of the Lord, he can be wrong in his attitude at times. You see, Barnabas wanted to give Mark a second chance. Paul was to later realise that this young man would prove to be very worthwhile when, later, Paul was in a Roman prison and many of his friends had departed to other areas of service, and the only one with him to visit and comfort him was Dr. Luke, who had travelled with him, and Silas on parts of the second missionary journey. When Paul wrote to young Timothy at Ephesus, this is what he wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is useful to me in the ministry." Now, if Barnabas had agreed with Paul not to take Mark on the second ministry journey because of his failure on the first, two things would not have happened. Number one, there would not have been two teams going on tour as Paul took Silas and Barnabas took Mark with him. Number two, Paul would not have had a profitable ministry to him when he was in prison in the person of John Mark. Now, all this happened because Barnabas believed in the God of the second chance. A quaint expression used today of failure is stuffing it up. How many of us have stuffed up the chance God gave us to do something? Did he write you off, or were you blessed with a second chance? Take the matter of a man being created and Adam and Eve blowing it up for all of us. God's answer to that was not to write us off completely, but to send the second Adam, Jesus, to make up all that we stuffed up. Wherever you think you might have failed, God has another chance waiting for you. Repent before him for your failure. Dust yourself down, get up, and start all over again. You might discover that all that you thought was lost was given back to you, and you didn't, in fact, miss a thing. Remember Dickens' Christmas Carol, and old Scrooge, miserable as he was, went through the disciplines of the three ghosts, found repentance, and then discovered with great joy that he hadn't really missed a thing. The good life for him went on outside his gaze and experience. God is able to make up all that you think you might have lost because He is the God of the second chance. He hasn't written you off. Come to Him today with thanksgiving. He will yet say of you by name, "You are profitable to me for the ministry." May God bless you and make you profitable in His sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Linda LeBlanc with a song called All for Love.
Darkness shades the path on which I walk. In you, O Lord, I choose to place my trust. I know that my Redeemer lives. He is my life and hope, my strength and power. I know His word will be fulfilled, His kingdom rule and reign. Neither death nor life, nor powers on earth or in the realms above, can ever take us from Your hand, O God, can ever separate us from Your love. I know that my Redeemer lives. He is my life and hope, my strength and power. I know on earth or in the realms above, can ever take us from Your hand, O God, can ever separate us from Your love.
Thank you.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Don Marsh and his crew. We go to Wales next on Heart and Soul.